Once again for Insight with Jack Stogler on the Ford Recovery Internet Radio. Insight with Jack Stogler is being brought to you by the community-minded sponsors you're going to hear during today's broadcast. Without further ado, here's your host, Mr. Jack Stogler.
That's my fault. Yeah. Okay. You're okay now.
That was the best opening line I think I've ever had, Neil, and I missed it.
I'm okay with that.
It's gone.
Yeah.
You can't just recreate those things,
Neil. Yeah, you can't. No. No, I can't.
You can't make this stuff up, you know. But you know what? It's a gorgeous fall evening, and I've got in studio with me the health commissioner of Mercer County, Mr. Jason Minchover. Hello, Jason.
Hello, Jack. Neil, good to be here with you this evening.
Welcome back. I think the last time we chatted, it had a whole boatload to do with the COVID stuff. And, you know, thank goodness, at least from a headline standpoint, that stuff's behind us. I'm sure you still deal with it on a, you know, daily, weekly basis yet.
Well, thankfully, it's much more limited than it was last time you and I talked in here. We're certainly happy to have all that behind us for the most part.
Well, I tell you what, I thought it would be good to have you come in, as is the case often as we approach November of any year. There's various levies on the ballot, and some a lot of people don't know the details of. And I think one of those is the current health levy that is on this coming November's ballot, correct?
Yes, that is correct. We do have a new proposed property tax levy on the ballot for the second time. It was on the ballot back in May and was defeated by about 10%. And that is a 0.55 mil property tax levy, which if you're like me, that may not mean a whole lot to you. But what it really amounts to is that if you had a $100,000 house or property in Mercer County, we would be asking you to contribute $19.25 per year to help support the work of the health district.
So for $20, we get health department stuff.
That's correct.
That's not bad.
We don't think so.
No, that's what's that come out to? That's 50 cents a week or something, isn't it?
Something like that,
or less.
40 cents.
Thanks, Jack.
That's all right. Hey, you know what? I got to do something here, Neil.
Yes, you know. About time.
Yes. So, Jason, let's, I think the one major key to any tax levy is to make sure there's an understanding by the people out there. What the hell is this for? What does the Mercer County Health Department do? And why do they need my money? Okay, so let's start with who is or what is the Mercer County Health Department, and what do you do?
All right, Jack, that's a good place to start. We are made up of different sort of programmatic divisions. So we have a health services division, nursing division, is what we call it. And we have an environmental health division. We also have what we call an administrative division. So I'll try to give you a quick rundown because I know we've got a lot to fit into a little bit of time here this evening. Our health services division, one of the things that we're best known for is providing immunizations for people of all ages. Probably the majority of what we do is for the kids as they're growing up through the different stages and even, before they go to school and as they're going through school. There are different immunizations that are either recommended or required for them to have at different stages.
And those are the ones that have been around for decades.
They are,
for the most
yes.
part, yeah.
Yeah, trying to protect kids in the community from diseases yep. like polio and tetanus.
We don't have that, all of that kind of stuff, so I'm going to say those things are working.
I think they're working pretty well, have worked pretty well over the years.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things we're best known for. We also have programs to provide child passenger safety seats for those who may not be able to afford to buy them for themselves.
What about people can afford them but don't know what to get? Do you offer advice and and show them how to put them in. Or I know some of the sheriff's departments do once or twice a year, they'll do a thing where they'll show you how this stuff's supposed to be put in.
Yeah, we have three child passenger safety technicians on staff who can provide the education, who can show how to install a seat, who can check one that's already installed to see if it was done correctly. Mm-hmm. The program is called Ohio Buckles Buckeyes, and it can provide seats to people who are income eligible, but we can make the education and consultation available to anybody as well. Yep. And that's a good example of one of the programs that we have where we don't have a means of recovering our cost. So I mentioned immunizations. You know, we can charge fees, we can bill insurance for those. We also have some sources of vaccine from the state that are paid for, so that if people can't afford to pay our fees and they don't have insurance, they still get served. They don't get turned away. We can provide for them. And that's one of our major functions, is to, you know, provide for those who maybe aren't so well off. So, but beyond that, you have things like child passenger safety, safe sleep. We also do communicable disease investigation. So if you have somebody has a wedding reception and 20 people get sick, and we're trying to figure out if it's because of something they ate or something they drank or something they were commonly exposed to, there are all kinds of investigative steps that go into trying to figure out what happened and what can be done so it doesn't happen again. And that's not something we send somebody a bill for. And so those types of things, even your community health assessments, which is something that we do every 3 years, where we gather information from Mercer County and try to determine exactly what the health needs, issues, wants are here, so that then we can engage with community partners and plan things to help address those needs. None of that is something that we invoice somebody for. So that's, those types of things are why we look to public support to help keep things going. Sure. And I did digress a little bit. We also have an environmental health division that does all kinds of inspections and licensing with restaurants and campgrounds and swimming pools and schools, and private wells and septic systems. So that's another big part of what we do. But most of those programs are mostly self-funding.
Like they're fee assessed. So
yes.
So the more wells they inspect, the more income they have to take care of expenses like that.
That's correct.
Okay. Does that fee, for the most part, cover the actual expenses, or is it kind of something that takes care of most of it? Does it kind of average out between the higher cost ones and the lower cost ones?
It depends on the program. It can't ever really average out between the higher and lower cost ones, because we, in those environmental health programs, we are bound by law to only charge up to what it costs us to implement the program.
But you can charge what it actually costs you, instead of kind of some of the things, the fees were put into law at $30, that made you money 40 years ago, and it cost you money now. So
yeah.
So if you're allowed to charge what it costs, then that's a great way to do it. That's what it should be.
It is, and we are allowed to. We don't always do that. We do have some programs like the well and septic system programs where things have become complicated enough and time-consuming enough that if we were to charge what it actually costs us to completely provide those programs, we'd be charging ridiculous permit fees, even in comparison with some of the highest charging counties in the state. So so sometimes that's also where some of this other funding comes in, is to helps to even that out, make it more reasonable.
Yep.
I tell you what, we're going to take a real quick break. We're going to come back and talk about, so why do we have the need for the levy now when we didn't before? And I think there's been some things that have changed that have kind of initiated that. So we'll be back to talk about those things right after this.
Brick Street Tavern has some great nightly specials for you. On Tuesdays, you can get our awesome boneless wings for just 75 cents each and a domestic draft for only $1.50. Wednesday night, you can get our delicious grilled or spicy chicken salad for just $6. And Thursdays, it's our crispy chicken wrap with fries for only $6.50. On Friday and Saturday evenings, you can get a sirloin steak for $14.99 or a four-piece chicken dinner for $8.99. And both include our salad bar, your choice of potatoes, and a dinner roll. Be sure to stop in at any time and try a slice of our delicious homemade pie. For great home cooking, stop in and see us at Brick Street Tavern.
At Cooper Farms, family first isn't just a saying. It's our culture.
I like that the company has a value system that I can subscribe to. Things that are important to the organization are also things that are important to me. We have very caring and competent leaders that value family.
Join the family. Apply online at CooperFarms.com. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canote from K&L Tractor Sales, Fort Recovery, Ohio. It's been said time and time again, you get what you pay for. In the case of Simplicity Lawn and Garden Tractors, you get even more. Exclusive features like free-floating mower decks for a perfectly manicured cut, full-width rollers for a beautifully striped lawn, suspension comfort system for a smooth ride, and automatic control traction for the best traction system in industry. So do you want to settle for getting what you pay for or getting more? Visit K&L Tractor Sales to see the exclusive features of a Simplicity.
Fort Recovery Merchants and the Fort Street Car Classics Car Club are having their fall cruise in on Saturday afternoon, October 8th, on the Brick Street in downtown Fort Recovery from 4 to 8 p.m. Oldies will be playing all day. There will be a 50-50 drawing and, of course, some of the coolest cars around. Make plans now to head up to the Brick Street and check out the awesome cars that will be there. Fall cruise in Saturday, October 8th from 4 to 8 p.m. Don't miss it.
Fact Insight. Talking to Jason Menchover, the Director of Health for the Mercer County Health Department. Actually, you're the Health Commissioner, right?
Yeah, I answer to a lot of names.
Yeah. He's in charge of the health department.
Yeah. So you know, we were talking earlier. So, you know, so what changed or what's some of the occurrences that have happened that have kind of made this levy a must?
Well, that's another very good question. I'm glad you asked, because it's also something that people, listeners, need to know if they're contemplating, you know, why they should even consider voting in favor of this levy. Somebody asked me a couple weeks ago, you know, we're already getting all these services from the health department now. Why would we want to pay more? And the short answer to that, or the biggest part of the answer to that, is that starting back in the fall of 2019, we became aware that we might need to move out of the Mercer County Central Services building where our office is located, along with several other county agencies in Salina. And that is because the county commissioners have responsibilities to several county agencies to provide, you know, office space, housing.
Yeah, they're required to.
Correct. And they're not required to provide that for us.
But they have been, because they had a space.
Yeah, exactly. They've supported us well over the years. They've allowed us to use the space that we have in the Central Services building rent-free for over 20 years, yeah. So, which is great. But now that we're being told that we're going to need to make room for somebody else, I don't think we're going to be able to go anywhere else and find an office where we don't have to pay rent. So
I hope so, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm not.
Somebody would already come forward if that was going to happen.
Exactly. So, you know, it represents a significant chunk of our budget that either needs to be added to the revenue or cut out of the expenses. And so that's where it comes back to, we want to be able to maintain the services and the things that we do for the community at the level that we do them now, even make improvements or do more if it's needed. And it's going to be very difficult to do that if we have to, you know, if we have to carve that out of our existing budget. And having said that, we're doing okay in our current situation. We're a little bit ahead of where we should be on revenue this year. We're a little bit below where we should be on expenses. But that gap between those two is not nearly large enough for us to be able to go ahead and relocate without either additional revenue
and, or with pure expenses. Inflation, you know, that could that could be gone in a couple of months.
Yes, absolutely.
So when you talk about the budget of the Mercer County Health Department, did you say it was like $2.2 million? Is that correct?
It's approximately $2.2 million right now is our overall budget.
And you know, when as a yeoman, when I think about the extent of the services that are offered, when you're talking about vaccines and permits and health assessments and testing, and I mean, there's such a myriad of different services that are offered. You know, and I know that you said that you have 14-15 employees of the health department.
Yeah, there's 16 counting myself. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So the scope and the range of what you guys do is vast. So when it failed in May, what type of feedback did you get as you went to the different communities about why it didn't click?
Well, a lot of what I've heard from the different township meetings that I've been to and people that I've talked to in the community is, they still feel that a lot of people aren't fully aware of all those different things we do. And it's hard to even sit here on half an hour or an hour on the radio and really fully cover it all. And maybe weren't aware of what the levy itself was about, even what we just talked about. You know, we're already doing all of these things. Why do we need more money now? Which we covered with the whole need to relocate to a different office building. So, I think a big part of it was that there's just still a lack of awareness, and that's on us for not putting that message out there better. And we're trying to do more of that through different venues to not necessarily say vote for our levy, but to say, look, we're here in the community. These are the things we do. Maybe we can help you in one of these ways and hope that, you know, if people are more aware and more familiar and maybe have even used our services that they didn't even know they could access, that will pay off in better, you know, more support because people actually know what we're about.
Sure.
Do you think, I had my microphone off. Do you think that some of the reason that it didn't pass in May was because the ballot was so screwed up and people weren't sure what they were going to be voting for? And I think we had very low voter turnout between the May and the August things. I think more went out for August because it was county commissioner and state representative, but there was just kind of some local stuff on the ballots, and it's kind of people didn't know. Do you think that number one, that the voter turnout was low and that might have had a lot to do with it, and the people, when they actually do go out to vote, when it comes here to the midterms in 5 weeks or whatever it is, that the people will understand what's going on and they'll say, yes, we need all of this. And we understand that it gets paid for somehow, and 50 cents a week is okay with me. Or excuse me, Jack, 40 cents a week. You didn't matter.
Thank you.
Well, you know, I hope that plays into it. I really don't know statistically if we had a very small turnout, but I do think there's a very good chance that people might have been kind of disillusioned with the whole process whenever you looked at the mess that we saw with the state redistricting and delaying that state election. Some of that might have carried over into people's attitudes about whether they even wanted to show up to vote. So I do think that we will see a different turnout, higher turnout, also possibly different people turning out for different reasons.
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, you can overthink that stuff all day, and I can probably convince myself that it could be better because of that, and then I can turn around and find another reason to think, well, it might not be as good. So, I'm not a veteran of this thing. It's only our second time through, so it's going to be interesting to see how that all plays.
I think we talked off the air about, and might have been touched on a little bit on the air a few minutes ago, about some of the funding that the townships are giving to your department won't be needed when this levy passes, and that money can stay in the townships to improve roads and do whatever else they need to do. Am I hearing, is that what that?
Yes, is that right? we did talk about that off the air, so I'd like to elaborate on that now.
Yeah,
I'm glad you brought that up, Neil.
That's a huge deal, because you may be paying some to the health department, but you're going to get a whole bunch more. You're going to get the same from the health department. You're going to get more from your townships. And right. I don't know if the incorporated villages and so forth will get more or not, but that's going to give you more services in a lot of areas.
Yeah, it is. And so the health department currently collects what we call inside millage. Basically, the only local tax dollars that we collect come from the political subdivisions of the county. So each township, each village, and the city of Salina all make a contribution to our budget each year, and that amounts to almost $300,000 out of our $2.2 million budget. The rest is raised by fees for services, permits, inspections, immunizations, and by several different grants that come from, mostly passed through from the federal, but they come to us from the state level. So that $300,000 is, like I said, that's basically the only local taxpayer money that we currently collect. The levy, if it were to pass, would bring in a little over $600,000. And the reason why we're asking for that amount is, like Neil said, so that we can basically tell the townships and the villages and Salina, look, we appreciate your support, but we've reached a point now where we've secured our funding, and you guys can keep that money, use it for side ditches, chip and seal, whatever you need to do in your own jurisdictions. Use it to benefit your people in your township, in your village, in your city, and we'll handle our thing with the proceeds from this tax levy. So not only are we trying to be fiscally sound and be able to relocate into a different facility without cutting services, we're also trying to help out our partners around the county and the townships and the villages and the city to allow them to keep more of their money to use for other things that I'm sure they can find good uses for, it, just like we can.
Yep.
Well, I tell you what, when I consider the last 3 years and through the COVID and stuff, I really can't imagine any county agency that has done as much or handled things as well and put themselves in a higher standing than what the Mercer County Health Department did. You know, through all that stuff that was COVID, when other counties were banging their head about their local health departments, I really felt like there was a collaborative, cooperative effort between the county health department, the schools, the businesses, and the people to get done what the county needed to get done. And I just think that you guys handled that great.
Well, I really appreciate that, Jack, and I hope you're not the only one that noticed. I mean, we did try to be collaborative. We tried to handle things in a way that made sense for Mercer County. I mean, you know, we've talked about this before. Even on a good day, we are accountable to the State Department of Health in a lot of ways, so it wasn't like we could just ignore what was coming down from the state.
Sure.
Do whatever we pleased. But we tried to strike a balance between fulfilling that obligation and also doing things in a way that made sense and was relatable for our folks here locally.
Fantastic. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to take one more break, and we're going to come back and kind of put a nice, pretty bow around this thing so that people know what this is about and they can go out and vote appropriately November 8th. So we'll be back right after this.
Klingchern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klingchernandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klingchern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
The versatile Kubota B-Series is a do-it-all tractor. Part of our under 100-horsepower tractor lineup rated number one for reliability, you can run powerful attachments that can be easily switched out. The Kubota B-Series. Talk to your local Kubota dealer today to schedule a demo. Go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Your local Kubota dealer is Hall Brothers in Fort Recovery, Ohio.
You say you're hungry? Call Miracle Lanes and avoid the work and hassle of fixing it yourself. 375-4274 is the number you want to call for subs, salads, great sandwiches and sides, and of course their awesome pizza. And don't forget about their pizza wing and salad buffet every Friday at lunch. Do you have a birthday party or other get-together coming up? Give them a call and reserve your lanes now. Miracle Lanes, great food, lots of fun. 375-4274. The Fort Recovery Firefighters are having their famous all-you-can-eat breakfast on Sunday morning, October 16th from 8 to noon at the fire hall. Sausage, pancakes, and omelets custom made by your firefighters, all you can eat. All the proceeds will go toward new and updated equipment and building upgrades, and it's a free will donation. Don't miss this great breakfast. Head on down to the fire hall on Sunday morning, October 16th from 8 to noon for the Fort Recovery Firefighters' famous omelet, pancake, and sausage breakfast.
We're back. Insight. We're back. And we're talking to Jason Menchover, the Commissioner of Health for the Mercer County Health Department. I'm screwing that up every time. So, but I'll tell you what.
It's not the hospital. That's what that's what you need to know.
Thank you.
But I really want us to be able to touch on the nuts and bolts of November 8th. So can you just kind of touch on that?
Well, I can kind of recap. We do have a 0.55 mil levy on the ballot November 8th, and we are asking the local taxpayers for your support for the next 5 years to basically help come up with about 25% of what we foresee our overall budget being when we find out where we'll relocate to, you know, get the cost all figured out on getting into a different facility.
And that 0.55 mil is about $20 a year for a $100,000 home.
Correct.
About 40 cents a week.
That's correct.
A week, not a day, week. Not an hour, a week.
Right.
That's nothing.
Spend more than that on coffee, right?
Oh, you bet. If you make it at home, you spend that much on coffee because it costs a quarter to make a pot. So,
and that is for, I don't want people to think that it's lost on me that most homes are valued at more than $100,000 nowadays, too. So we might have to rework the math one of these years.
But it's easier for everybody to do the math.
Easier to do the math, correct. Yeah. So we do understand. I understand that a lot of people will pay more than that. But I do believe it's a reasonable amount, and I am proud of the fact that we do, come up with about 75% of what we think our budget will be after the change, without having to go to the local voters for property tax money. So that's what it's about, and And just to say, because I sort of thanked you for telling the listeners that I'm not with the hospital. That's not that we have anything against the hospital.
No, we have a great hospital.
At the health department.
But Mercer, you're not the hospital.
No, correct. And why I always make that point is, Mercer Health has been a great partner in many ways, and especially through COVID. But people often get confused when they hear Mercer Health. People are referring to the hospital. Mercer County Health District is the health department. And that's one of the things that we heard after the spring election was that there was some confusion on the name. So when you see the levy on the ballot in November, it's for the health department. It is not the hospital's fault.
No, definitely fantastic. Not their fault, but also and has nothing to do with them at all. Just
correct.
Happens to be Mercer and health, and both of you do that.
Exactly.
And
you know, it's important to note that the services that the health department offers includes vaccines, investigations, permits. I'm sure I'm missing a bunch of them.
Oh, I've probably missed a few and in fact, I didn't even mention birth certificates and death certificates. You know, if people need to get their driver's license or get a passport or do something like that. You know, sometimes they come to us for those things and we serve people that way too. So there are a wide variety of services, and we are one of few places in the county where people can still turn to if they can't afford to go anywhere else for services, and we can still help people out. And that's one of our, one of the main, I guess, historical functions of the health department in the community.
Is there a website or a Facebook page where people can go if they wanted to find out more about this levy?
Sure. There's a couple of places to go. We really don't have a lot about the levy on our health department website, but I think we'll be able to put some information up soon. We completely avoided that back in the spring. We do have to be careful about what kind of information we share as the health department. We cannot come out and say, vote for us, while we're doing things that are on health department time or paid for by health department funds.
Yeah.
So we did have a group that was very active back in the spring, still exists, but we haven't been meeting face-to-face, known as the Friends of the Mercer County Health District. And there is a Facebook page under Friends of the Mercer County Health District, and that was more dedicated to levy-specific communication. There's not been a lot of new information put on there yet, although the information as far as the levy goes and the dollars and cents and all of that is essentially the same as what it was back in the spring.
Yep.
So there is some information there as well where people can learn more about the details of the levy itself.
Fantastic. Jason, I'll tell you what.
Let me throw one more thing in there that keeps coming back to me is, and I've probably mentioned it five times already tonight, but this levy will take some of the money from property owners, but they also currently are taking money from municipalities and townships that will not be needed anymore, and your services will improve in those townships and municipalities with that money that is not going now, that now is going to the health department, that will not be needing to go to the health department anymore.
That's correct. We want to give them that money back so they can use it.
So it's, you're really voting for improving things in your township and your municipality, roads that they were thinking about doing and can't do because they don't have money. There's going to be a little bit more money now that doesn't have to go to the health department, that's going to be going or staying with your municipality or your township. So things are going to get better there with the same services, and you're just going to improve your locality, your local stuff, with whatever the township decides is most important. For 40 cents a week.
Sounds good.
That's
Jason, it is always a pleasure to have you on, my man.
It's a pleasure to be here. I appreciate you guys having me on this evening.
Oh, yeah. We love having you come in. It's always informative.
And you hopefully the next time you're in here, we can talk about the success of the levy and your new new digs when you get them.
That'd be great. I'll look forward to it.
So we're going to take a little break. We're going to come back with a couple of my favorite people from the Village of Fort Recovery, and we'll be to talk about the
one-of-a-kind auction.
The one-of-a-kind auction.
Remember that scene in the Indiana Jones movie where the old knight tells him to choose wisely? Hi, I'm Connor Ramble with Fort Recovery Insurance. When it comes to insurance, choose wisely. Now, I'm not an old knight, but I do know insurance. From farms to factories to cars and ATVs, don't just spin the wheel and choose the first one that comes up. Insurance is too important not to have some local advice on what is wisest for you. FortRecoveryInsurance.com, your local agent for Ohio Mutual Insurance Group.
Do you have that one room that is too cold in the winter or too hot in the summer? Need to send air or heat to an addition, basement, or garage, but getting it there seems impossible? Introducing Mitsubishi Multi-Zone Systems, your heating and air solution for one room or independent control of every room. Oh, did I mention Mitsubishi H21 systems are ductless and can be installed almost anywhere, even the ceiling? Get a $500 instant savings discount now at Reasoner Energy. Another problem solved by Reasoner Energy. 419-678-4858.
With the weather getting cooler, we start thinking about making a big batch of chili, and Wayne Street Market has everything you'll need for your secret recipe. A large selection of seasonings, beans, tomato juice, and tomato soup, fresh and canned tomatoes, shredded cheese, crackers, and of course the ground chuck. And it's a good idea to order your holiday party trays now so they can avoid supply chain issues and have everything you need when it's party time in a few weeks. And you want to make them your first stop every morning with one of their many varieties of coffee and some of their fresh pastries. And if you're looking for a great meal in a hurry, stop into Wayne Street Market, where they always have good hot meals ready to go every day back in their deli. Wayne Street Market, the hometown store that saves you more. Fort Recovery High School's fall homecoming ceremony will take place before the football game this Friday, October 7th at 6:30 p.m. The homecoming dance will be held the following night. This year's queen candidates are Audra Bupp, Sophie Pearson, Alexis Wendell, Abby Kanapke, and Elena Laux. The king candidates are Paul Homan, Wyatt Benn, Cale Rammel, Bo Tin, and Isaac Lefevre. The junior attendants are Sage Luthold and Alex Dews. Sophomore attendants are Eva Kollig and Gavin Evers. Freshman attendants are Autumn Luthold and Luke Lochtefeld. Be sure to get to the game early for the fall homecoming ceremony at 6:30 this Friday night before our game with Parkway. Our local Psi Iota Psi chapter will be holding their Krispy Kreme fundraiser this Friday after the varsity football game against Parkway. They're only $10 a dozen, and you'll be the hero at breakfast on Saturday morning. It's going to be our homecoming game, and you'll want to be there for the game anyway, so just remember to grab a dozen or two Krispy Kreme donuts on your way home. Psi Iota Zai's Krispy Kreme donut sale this Friday after the homecoming football game with Parkway.
Test.
You're on,
Jack. What?
You're on.
Oh, we're back. Thank God I wasn't saying something stupid.
Again.
Again.
As usual. Yeah, we were sorting microphones out. So.
Hey, we're back on Insight, and I've got two of my favorite people in the world.
In the whole world?
Yes.
Wow.
Mary Diller's husband.
Oh, yeah.
And Tess Kalp's husband. Now, I don't think either of them have first names. You know, they're both just known from their wife's fame and fortune.
Got that right.
So. Yep. And we're okay with that.
That's right. So we'd like to welcome in studio Mr. Tom Kalp and Mr. Randy Diller. Hello, gentlemen.
Jack. Hey, Jack.
And Tom, first of all, how's retirement going?
No complaints at this time.
You might do it twice.
I might do it again. You're right. I love it. Awesome.
Isn't it nice? Okay. I mean, it's
how's your retirement going, Jack?
Oh, it's fantastic. There's one thing about the joy of retirement, and then there's the joy of having younger friends who can't quite retire yet. You know,
I agree.
Or we have to keep working to pay for all their vices.
There you go.
As Rich Yockish told me, he just waves on their way to work. So keep working, boys.
Keep on working, boys. So guys, I tell you what, I'm sure we could talk about you many things, but the one that's coming up that I think you're starting to see a lot of signs is the one of a kind auction. Correct?
That's correct.
So
I have one out in my planter out here in front.
Yes, you do. And
awesome.
We straightened it on the way in, by the way.
The auction is Sunday, October 23rd. Doors open at 4:30. Events kind of start at 5, and then it's usually over around 9. There's $10 tickets. You can buy those at the pharmacy or at the flower shop, boutique, or even the Fort Recovery Insurance, I think, has some, too.
Or we'll have them at the door.
Or they're available at the door. And that sure. $10 will get you a bid number when you come in. That's good for all the different events that's going on that night. And also, it will get you the buffet that is put out by the sorority ladies.
That's unbelievable.
Which is worth more than worth the cost of admission.
That's a $20 deal.
It is $20 deal.
It's a hors d'oeuvre only and dessert only, but you can eat two meals there.
Without a doubt.
Really good. It's called heavy hors d'oeuvres, and that is it is.
No, we're heavy. They're hors d'oeuvres.
It's awesome.
Yeah. So what number event is this? So we've been doing this for how long?
This is our 21st annual.
Correct. Did we miss any years because of COVID?
Yes, we missed 2020.
Yes, is we that did. Right? But Randy has the numbers, and I think it's close to...
It's nearly, in those 20 years that we've had so far, we've raised nearly $500,000.
Oh, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, and that's... And people ask all the time, well, where's that money go? You know, and that's a great question. We're glad to supply the answer. It, it's put on by Fort Recovery Historical Society and Project Recovery. Those are the two groups that have started it and are still working it today. It is... The easy answer is it goes for the maintenance and operations of all the historical facilities we have here in Fort Recovery. Now, that in itself does not pay for everything, but it's certainly one of our best fundraisers for both groups and is a big help in keeping those facilities operating. And, you know, those facilities range from, you know, log cabins, just the grounds around all the different things we have, the visitor center, cemetery, Pioneer Cemetery, the headwaters of the Wabash. Obviously, there's some money spent around the fort and the museum, even though those are state things. You know, a lot of that money has to come from local, too. So that's the quick and easy. And besides that, we've always had other things that we've supported. One year, we gave 100% of the profits towards the mural projects that were going on. And, you know, obviously, that turned out great. I mean, what a great addition to Fort Recovery. Other years, we've supported just single families or and not with the whole thing, but with a specialty prize or something that we
special
donated.
Special needs type thing.
Yeah, right? And so we've done those over the years. I think the first one that we did, if I remember looking back, was the year that the Knoxville New Bremen firefighters were killed in that silo deal or whatever it was.
And I just saw something on Facebook. It looked like it might have been exactly, was that 12 or 15 years ago? This would be the date that it was.
I know that was one of the first things that we did as a specialty donation. So we do different things like that. But the majority of that money is spent locally.
Yeah. It is hard to believe when, like, you talk about just the number of sites, the number of facilities that we have that are historic related. I don't think, people think, the log cabin, or they think that piece of it, but there's a lot more to it than that.
Yeah, sure. I mean, just down the street here, Krenning Park, in between the bank and the monument shop, you know, that's been upgraded so well, and then, you know, now it has two murals, but it's just a beautiful, it's a transition from the downtown to the museum and the fort, and it couldn't be any nicer, you know, with a log cabin in there. And
I was going to say, in that, so many people get the misconception that the State Historical Society is helping fund a lot of that, and they do to a partial, but it's a very small part of it anymore. It's probably less than 5 or 10%.
I believe about 15, 20, 30 years ago, the state kind of funded everything at the fort. And then they said, we're not doing that anymore. And a group of people said, well, we're still going to have this thing open, and we don't care what we have to do. And part of this is because of the auction, but you know, they just decided, we're not putting up with that. We're going to have this open. I think we're going to be open weekends only for 6 weeks out of the year, something crazy like that. And they said, that's not going to work for us. And our historical society just took over and started doing things and can't do it without money. Things have to be mowed. The state was still going to mow stuff, but they weren't going to have the museum open either at all or very, very little.
Right. And I think at that time, it was going to cost the state so much money to keep it closed, and that's the amount of money that they gave the historical society to open it. So whatever the state figured to keep it closed, that's what they would give them to keep to it keep open, it open, which was not very much.
Yeah, which was to mow.
Sounds like government thinking, though, doesn't it?
Well, the state cut their budget. You know, there's not that much money. The historical society
can't. State government thinking.
Yeah, state. The state historical society can't raise money really any better than we can.
Right.
We're doing a very, very good job, but they can't do that huge thing.
So it's like we talk about the one of a kind auction. Okay. So it's October 23rd. This is the 21st annual. But there's more than just the one auction piece to it, correct? What all is involved?
Okay. We have three separate types of auction. We have a silent auction where when you come in and you get a bid number, then there will be like a clipboard with the item, and you can write your bid on that particular item and write your bid number down beside it so the next person really doesn't know if Jack Stogler's bidding on it or not. But you put your bid number down. And then through the evening, they'll say the first 15 or 20 items.
Yeah. There's usually around 30 items in the silent auction.
Right. I think we're up in their 50s.
About 45.
Is it now? Okay.
This year, maybe 50.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff.
That's fantastic. There's that particular one. And then we have one that I think somebody said it was a Chinese raffle. I'm not sure on that. But you buy a raffle ticket and you put your bid number on the back of it, and then there'll be about 45 to 50 items that there'll be a container that you can drop that ticket in if there's something there that you want to try to win.
Bid on kind of.
Right. And you can drop your raffle ticket in whichever items, or you can buy as many as you want.
Yeah, most people buy like $50 worth and throw them in four or five different things.
Yeah, I think for $50, you get 100 different little tickets, and you write your bid number, so you can put 100 tickets in there.
You can put all 100 in one of the things, or you can spread them out over 5 or 20 or whatever you want, anything you want.
So that is open, I think, from 5 o'clock till 7:30, where you can drop your little raffle tickets in. And then the third one is a live auction, where some of our larger items, we have some destination trips, some vacations, some Ohio State tickets, some Cincinnati Red tickets, just different items that, and I think we're up to about 30-40 items on that particular.
And are all these items donated?
To say all wouldn't be accurate completely, but yes, the majority of them are donated. We add some things to make packages.
Yeah.
And this year we had some donors that gave money and wanted us to put together packages for them.
Yeah.
So one, as an example, we had a nice donation from a local family here that they wanted it spent in town, so they wanted they put together a ladies' day, so pedicure, manicure, massage, salt room, gift certificate to Sunshine, those types of things were all put together into one package and paid for by that donor.
Sure.
So, yes, it's donated.
Yeah,
right. But we actually used the money to buy it. So, yeah.
And the other thing is, throughout the evening, we have a couple different items that you can purchase tickets for that night, and we'll have.
It's kind of like tip boards, But you get, like, if it's a gun, you get a little target. If it's a this, there's little correct things you buy. If there's, and you do the things with the cards and stand up and sit down and all
like
that kind
three
of stuff.
Specialties.
There's all there's kinds
actually,
of
there's
stuff.
There's actually a total of four this year. One of them we started selling tickets for, which we do every year prior to the auction, and you don't have to be present to win, and that's for a piece of jewelry. This year it's a very nice pendant necklace that Jones Jewelers from Salina has donated again this year. They have been a part of this from the very beginning and donated a very nice piece of jewelry.
It's usually a $1,000-$2,000 piece
of
jewelry that they
have. $1,000 necklace, and so we sell just tickets leading up to it, and then we give it away that night. You can buy the tickets that night also.
You can probably also buy them at the football game.
I think they're going to have them at the football games the next 2 weeks.
Football games the next 2 weeks. I think you can also buy them there. So
and they're going to be selling them at the girls' volleyball games next week, Tuesday and Thursday.
So that's one of them. And then the other three are only purchased at the auction. So you basically got to be there to win, more or less.
Yeah.
And there's two different guns. One we use a target, like you say, that's got a number on it, and we sell however many in so much time, and then we draw the number, and the winner with that target number gets it. We also sell a deck of cards, so we sell 52 of those and tear the card in half, and you match the card, and you're the winner. And the last one this year is a new one, and we're giving away a designer purse.
Ooh, Jack.
Targeting the ladies.
I just bought myself one.
Well Marsha's birthday was what, today or yesterday?
Yesterday.
Yeah, maybe it'd be a late birthday present for her.
Yes.
Or stash it somewhere, station in the closet here at the studio and give it to her next year.
So that's what we have going on, you know.
So when, like, I spend my $10 for a ticket. So I got $50 worth of food that I can eat that these fabulous women are fixing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Have you been there, Jack? It's incredible, the food that they put out there. It's unreal.
Yeah.
It's just awesome.
From a drink standpoint, is there, like, wine?
Nope.
Since school, Jack.
But you can win wine.
Okay. I was thinking I was one of these, like, that had
there is drinks available, punch and pop and water and stuff. But they
are doing the wine giveaway, but you cannot drink it there.
Chocolate table where you can, for $10, you buy a cork, and then they match the number on either the bottle of wine or the chocolate, or they even have some crystal, I think, in there mixed in.
Yeah,
but
awesome.
One rule, you cannot open the bottle of
you
wine.
Can't open
not
the
at the school.
You can't drink. The other thing I went, normally we have a theme. So in the past, we've had fiestas and jungle room and
Mardi Gras.
Different.
No.
Okay, this year, it's Christmas in October. So
awesome.
Our decorations and a lot of our gifts are kind of steered.
Holiday related.
And one of the packages, you'll have to tell them that one, that's the Christmas.
Yeah, well, I mean, just some of the things that we're doing that are specifically, say, Christmas related. We have a handmade quilt by somebody that's a Christmas quilt. We have, as Tom alluded to, this Christmas story package, which includes tickets to a performance down in Carmel, Indiana, some gas money, and yes, it has to have a Red Ryder BB gun.
We were really
hoping to get the leg lamp, but we're not sure about that yet.
That's cool.
So that's in there. We have we also have tickets for a White Christmas musical down at Locka Media.
Awesome.
That'll be part of it. And that was donated by the sorority. One other piece that we have this year on the live auction is a very unique and beautiful Lennox nativity set. And
ooh. I saw that on Facebook. If you want to see some of these things, the Facebook page has several pictures, and they have more as it comes. But there's some awesome things on there.
We also put together what they called an ultimate Christmas package, which includes, you know, a meal for your family, say 20 people, and it also has cleaning of your house before the party, and it has Santa showing up at your party. So kind of unique. Again, one of those one-of-a-kind things that you don't get them everywhere. So.
Candy.
And it has candy. It has candy from Perry Bird Store. And
It's quite a package,
actually. It's a neat package. So yeah,
that's great.
That's in there. We got a 4-foot Victorian Santa. We got some homemade wooden ornaments, which Homer Stockler makes, and they are absolutely exquisite. They're just unbelievable. If you've ever seen some of Homer's little pieces that he does, it's just unbelievable. I don't have the patience.
It's incredible.
The bowls he made last year were, those were just stunning. I mean, how in the world could you possibly ever do something like that?
Yeah, so then we got an entryway, a decorated entryway. Nature's Green will come in and decorate your home entryway, and once it's over, that is your stuff to keep.
No kidding. How cool is that?
Yeah. Yeah. So that, and that's the kind of things that make it unique and kind of interesting. And, of course, this year we played into the Christmas theme, and so that, you know, Steve came up with that idea, and we truly appreciate that. That's a great gift.
He's pretty good at that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is.
And then, you know, we have some of our regular stuff. You know, we have the pie a month for a year. We have the
that stuff that nobody cares about. That's a pie a month. Homemade pie every month.
Tenderloin Tuesday.
Tenderloin Tuesday every week.
Two pizzas a month
for a year. Two pizzas a month from Toby's. It's just stuff that, it's just the regular stuff.
Some shade trees that you can buy and it'll be planted in your yard or your business. Yep.
One of the other things we had, a guy donated the original instructions to the lift.
And the bill of sale.
And the bill of sale to the lift that's in Brockman Furniture Store, which was dated in the early 1900s, and it was by a May that had a funeral home and then turned into Brockman's. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but he found this original bill of sale and the instructions of how to use the lift. And he paid a lot of money to have it framed. It's gorgeous.
Isn't that cool?
It is really one of a kind.
I saw that. It looks like it's absolutely, except it's faded, a little brownish. Looks like it's brand new.
It is. And the other one is a framed piece of art that was donated. And it was bought in a art gallery up in Northern Ohio. And it is called a batik painting, and the lady used wax, and she puts it on a piece of cloth, and then you dip it in dye, and then you take it out of the dye, and then you remove some of the wax, and then you keep redyeing it, and it's a picture, and it's called the purple
thornbush.
So is this almost like three-dimensional then with that much wax?
No, not necessarily.
Not necessarily, but it does have some of the wax on
it. It has texture to it.
Yeah.
It's one of a kind.
Yeah.
And it's framed, a valuable piece of
It's valuable. It's very cool. But it goes back to like the 12th century.
Yeah, it comes
from Java
and Indonesia.
It's a crazy story, but it's a piece.
I'll tell you what. I think we have to take one break.
Yep.
Before we do, I do think that it's worth kind of giving a couple of shout-outs. And, you know, first of all, just listening to the list to, you know, shout out all the people that have donated. And I'm sure that, you know, businesses have gotten involved like they do every year, you know. And it's just amazing to me what this town and the businesses of this town do to support every cause. It's just incredible.
What's interesting is we get a lot of the same people donate every year, and they have unique items, or they donate money to buy items, or they just want to support us, and that's really neat. And there's some of those people are, you know, Doris Cheeseman and Jill Bowling, Buzz and Pat, the Zoom Steam family has been a great supporter here lately. J&M is always supported at K&L, Hall Brothers. They're all big supporters every year and have items or have supported us in some way. And we have other individuals this year that got involved. We have Jim and Linda Weitzel made a nice donation, as did Dave and Peggy Allig.
Wow.
And so we're
they're almost Dark County.
Indiana.
They're in Indiana.
Yeah.
Jim and Ann Stallman made a nice Jim donation.
Ann Stallman.
And then, you know,
Cooper's was huge.
I noticed on Tom's thing that, you know, this thing was the brainchild of Kathy Kester's 21 years ago.
She would say it wasn't her brainchild, but she brought it back to us and proposed the idea.
I think her sister was involved in it up in
LCC has done one for years, and she was up and had seen it.
You know, it is one thing to take something like this and to bring it back and to do it for a year or two, but to be able to watch it grow and succeed for 21 years is pretty cool.
Yeah. And on... Yeah. We know we'll have continued success. Can we continue to grow it like it has? You know, at some point you reach a plateau that, you got 4 hours to make so much money. You know, last year we had a donation of a refurbished gas pump, and you know how popular those are.
Yeah.
Well, that brought $3,500 just to that. Yeah, and that was donated. That was given to the auction. And, you know, by my
somebody Kirby. Was very proud of how well they were able to make that look great.
Yeah, it was. So we get those.
And that's a great deal.
So, and all the businesses in Fort Recovery, you know, Windows Barbecue caters for 25. You know, they give a catering for 25. You know, that's a great prize, you know.
Yeah. And really good food.
Yeah.
And the tin cupboard, Jenny Smith.
So I'll tell you what, let's take a break, come back and touch on maybe a list of the main items, date, time, location, and make sure everybody knows what they got to know. So we'll be back right after this.
Boars Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Boars, where Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Boars Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Boars Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
Promotion from within the company is huge, and it's very much supported by the owners.
At Cooper Farms, we value hard work and dedication toward bettering yourself, and we reward that. We know that our team members are the key to our success.
We offer them classes. We help them try to get to that next level. We want them to learn. The people are our asset.
Apply online at CooperFarms.com. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hi, this is Chad Guggenbiller with CSG Consulting Finance and Brokerage in Fort Recovery. 2022 has been an interesting business year, to say the least. Has your business experienced change within your operation? With the Fed increasing short-term rates several times this year, have you reached your mode or dashboard of operation? Now more than ever, you need a strategy and a plan of action tailored specifically to your business needs. Because you deserve more than, this is what we have to offer when considering a financial institution. CSG Consulting, 419-852-4049. Your partner in planning and making you first.
Hello, this is Mary Diller, co-chairman of the One of a Kind Auction. The One of a Kind Auction is an annual event held in Fort Recovery that raises funds to support our local museum, Project Recovery, and the Historical Society. This year's event will be held on Sunday, October 23rd, with a theme of Christmas in October. It is a perfect opportunity to get an early start on Christmas shopping and support local historical organizations at the same time. Items at this year's auction include destination trips, musical events, fashionable purses and jewelry, toys, Christmas decorations, unique handmade items, an ultimate Christmas package that includes all you need for a Christmas party, including Santa, and so much more. So come to spend the evening with us on Sunday, October 23rd at 5 p.m. at the Fort Recovery Elementary Middle School. Tickets are $10 per person and are available at the BU Boutique or contact me through Facebook. We hope to see you there. Happy holidays.
Here are the sports broadcasts coming up this weekend on Fort Recovery Radio. Tomorrow, the Lady Indians will travel to Minster to take on the Lady Wildcats in an MAC match. Please note that they will have the varsity match at 5:30, followed by their homecoming ceremonies, then the JV match. We'll simulcast WPGW's broadcast of the varsity match. Friday will be homecoming, and our Indians will host Parkway in a big MAC football game. Fort Recovery Radio will broadcast the game live with our pregame show starting at 6:40, and our audio can also be heard on the NFHS network. On Saturday, the Lady Indians will travel to Fort Laramie to take on the always tough Lady Redskins. That will be a varsity-only match starting at 10 a.m., and we'll broadcast it live. Get out and support our Indians teams this week, but if you just can't get to the games in person, you can always listen live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians.
Give me at least 10 seconds notice.
Okay. Okay. So five, four.
Are we back yet?
Yes, we are.
We've been, I thought so.
We've been back since you started talking.
So we're back talking to Randy Diller and Tom Kalp about the upcoming one-of-a-kind auction, the 21st annual, October 23rd. Tell me about it to kind of wrap up. Time?
And maybe hit some of the timeshare things. I mean, we barely touched on
some of the other items we probably ought to touch on. Yes, you know, we have some handcrafted items every year. Two of them this year, Bob Hart bowls, which are exquisite again.
It's gorgeous. I mean,
you've seen Bob's bowls are very popular.
Unbelievable.
Items. We have two Bob Van Treese paintings on the
Is this the last ones?
I think these will be the last ones.
Possibly.
Larry Keller was doing the auction the first time that got set, and that's been a long,
long time.
But we seem to come up with a new one every year somewhere.
Well, but to be real honest, he didn't make any more after that.
It's actually a winter scene, which isn't – Bob doesn't have a lot of winter scenes, but it's a fort in the background on a winter scene, so it's kind of unique and neat. Again, we got the Buckeye football tickets from Keith Faber, so great seats on the side. And we have basketball tickets from Dr. Gerlach for in February. Have a girls' day out, which we talked about. Sports memorabilia. We have a Nick Twaite signed autographed jersey.
That's awesome.
How cool is that?
Is that a Tin Caps jersey? Do you know?
Yes.
Yep. Awesome. I think that's what most people would want. But
right.
Yep.
Well, he actually moved up at the end of the year, so I don't know what he is now. But
well, we'll do that next year. But Tin Caps is close. We like that one.
So if somebody's coming to the auction, they pay their $10, they get their number.
They get a program that has their number on the back.
Okay. And then to pay for this, so do you use a credit card when you're there?
When you check out, you have the option of paying cash, check, or credit card. So you can, and other than the raffle, which is paid at the time you buy the tickets, everything else, the silent and the live, is all added up, and you check out as you go out the door and pay one time for everything. So you can buy 25 items, and you know we'll have it ready for you.
Yeah, except for the little raffle things where you put your number on the bid number on the tickets and drop them in the in the barrels of the 50 different things. They have a Portland food group. They have a Greenville food group. They have a Salina food group. They got a bunch of that kind of stuff.
Well, we got Tom and Tess in charge of the raffle this year, so it's going to be a little more unique than that.
Can you tell us about that, or is it going to surprise us when we get there?
It'll be a surprise.
That'll be awesome. But there'll still be food.
Oh yeah. There's lots of gift certificates and
prizes.
That's great. And am I incorrect in thinking that there's a certain person in town that always donates a $100 bill that's framed that's going to be one of those prizes, or do we know that yet?
Not this year.
Not this year. Nope. Oh, so he must be doing something else.
We talked about it, but we're going a different direction with some things.
It's just phenomenal, all the stuff that's there.
Santa Claus might show up.
Oh,
that might be a surprise.
That might be a bad surprise for me.
And you might see some of the committee members wearing really ugly Christmas sweaters.
So dress casual.
Just casual.
You can wear an ugly Christmas sweater if you have one. Or
pajamas. If you're brave enough.
If you're brave enough to wear it.
Or just wear your ugly sweaters, Jack.
Yeah, that's better.
But guys, I tell you what, it is always cool to see what you guys come up with every year. And so about how many people will be there?
Usually around 200.
Yeah. That's awesome. I mean, that's an outstanding turnout.
Yeah, and we can handle more, but that's a typical crowd. And it makes for a nice crowd. It makes for a manageable crowd. It doesn't take long to check out anymore. They got that really set up well so people get in and out of there. And like I said, we're typically done around 9 o'clock. So.
Around 9 o'clock?
Yeah, so it's not a late night.
We are going to do something different this year, too. We're going to have a couple of the items that's going to be on...
Facebook Live. At the same time.
So if you can't show up, and it's for people out of town, if there's something there they want to bid on, there's going to be a few items on that. And that'll be under Facebook Live. And the other thing I want to... We have a couple of the destination vacations to Florida and different places, too, that are great.
That are still standing.
Yes.
We have Dan and Teresa have donated a week at their place in Siesta Key, which was not the image, thank goodness. And then Bob Kaiser, which would be one of Ed Kaiser's boys, has been donating a week-long trip to the Orlando area every year. So
awesome.
He's done that to
Indiana Beach.
Yep, Kathy Stogler did Indiana Beach.
Bob Kaiser did that same thing last year, several times.
He's done it for a few years now.
It's so very nice.
We actually bought it one year and went down and done a week, and it was nice. It's a little cold. We went between Christmas and New Year's, and it was actually got frost.
It was perfect.
But I'll bet it was warmer.
Coldest temperatures in like 35 years.
But I bet it was warmer than it was here.
It was like 20 below here, so yeah. It was perfect.
Yeah.
You guys did okay.
What you end up with is you end up with an incredibly entertaining and fun evening.
Great hors d'oeuvres. Have I mentioned that yet?
What's that?
The great hors d'oeuvres.
I think maybe you've mentioned that, Neil. Get your stomach out of your head.
I can't. It's awesome. Yeah. It's unbelievable.
It supports a good cause. It's tax deductible.
It's tax
deductible. It is a donation.
It's a donation.
So,
and you can go to the Fort Recovery One of a Kind Auction Facebook page and see all the items. My wife's been posting one a day for the last few weeks, and we'll continue to do that up through the auction, so you can see pictures of things, you can see details.
Well, thank you to you two guys. Thank you to everybody that donated. Thanks to the local businesses who I know support this and everything tremendously. And everybody, make sure you're out there October 23rd.
Yeah, it's a fun evening.
It's a fun evening. If you don't buy anything, you still have fun.
It's so fun.
I mean, and there's a lot of opportunities to buy things that aren't $500 or $200.
You know, there's all kinds of things you can get for
$30, $40, $50 bucks. So
or less. It's awesome.
So. Doors open at 4:30. Things kind of get started at 5.
You can come as late as 6 o'clock and you won't really have missed anything.
Except the hors d'oeuvres. Have I mentioned the hors d'oeuvres yet?
I think you have. Again, thank you guys for coming.
Thanks for having us.
Say hello to your lovely wives.
You can say hello. They're probably listening.
If not, they'll be listening in the archives. So.
So everybody, stay tuned for Sports Talk. I think Bubba and Fee have Mr. Hal McCoy joining them.
Hal McCoy talking about the fabulous Reds season this year.
I would mention that the Guardians won again today.
Huh.
Did the Guardians make the playoffs?
Oh, come on, Jack.
Of course they did.
Have they done what the Reds are able to do, lose 100 games?
In the past they have, but not recently. I read a stat this week. Terry Francona has been their manager since 2013. And over the period of time that he's been manager, they have played 18 games where they were out of the playoff race over those years. 18 total games.
No kidding.
Wow.
So they've been and that's not with a $185 million payroll.
They are the youngest team in baseball and one of the least paid teams in baseball this year. They're just a bunch of young kids having a lot of fun right now.
Well, I hope they can hang on to them.
That's the problem when you're in small markets. You can't keep them forever. But
they're fun to watch.
Have fun while you can.
Oh, yeah.
So,
guys, so thanks for joining us. Jason Menchover, thanks for sticking around. I wish you luck on November 8th. And stay tuned for Sports Talk coming up right after this.
Mr. Jack Stogler, right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors.